Benjamin. Chapter 24. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and other queer and questioning youth often face unique challenges in finding community. Whether you are helping build an accepting family at home or searching for one who will support you when others don't, the Atchison LGBTQ Plus Center is here for you. The Atchison LGBTQ Plus Center official website. Nick takes me back to the bank. I remember that much. He gives me a bottle of water and makes me drink as much as I can. He wipes my face, puts a new mask over my mouth, and gets me a change of clothes. I'm too tired to register the embarrassment of just being in my sports bra and boxers, open wounds creeping across my stomach and thighs. Nick doesn't linger on my body. I am reminded of Jesus and the leper, and Nick helps by not turning away in disgust. When I'm finally presentable, my crumbling body hidden under bandages and clean clothes, Nick boosts me through the bank window and sits me on the floor of the copy room. I'm so lightheaded, I'm going to pass out. I need to say something, but how do I even start? I made a bunch of really, really bad decisions, and this is all my fault. Please don't be mad. I am divine retribution, but I'm also just a scared little kid. And God, why would you call me your friend? I grind my jaw and try to breathe past my massive tongue. I'm not getting enough air. Or maybe I'm hyperventilating. Nick crouches beside me and says, "What happened?" And it's not a question, because it doesn't need to be. I open my mouth to speak, but can't. Nick watches for a moment, then scratches that little spot under his eye. "It's okay," he says. "I have trouble talking sometimes too." He takes off his jacket and wraps it around my shoulders. "I'll be right back." I don't want him to go. I reach for him, but he pushes my hand away. "It won't take long," he says, and leaves. His coat smells like him. It smells like all of us. Like sweat, musty closets, and smoke. But it smells like him. Like he spent too much time with mothballs and old paper. I bury my face in the sleeve. Nick comes back with a plastic grocery bag that rattles when he moves. "I know it's immature of me," he says, sitting across from me and unpacking the bag. It's full of beads, bright plastic pony beads, all the colors of the rainbow and then some. He sets one large container between us and clicks it open. "But when I have a meltdown, I make these. It helps." Out comes a handful of string. I'm glad it survived the fire. He takes the bead lizard out of his pocket, the one with the gaudy yellow and blue beads and with bite marks on the toes. "I can show you," he says, "if you want." He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do anything for me. Not after what I brought down on us. We lost the Vanguard. We lost so many people. We're fucked. But Nick just pulls out a length of string and cuts it with his teeth. "Pick out some beads." I half-heartedly pick a few random ones. Green, red, whatever. But eventually I find ones that look like the trans flag. Nick shakes his head. "Other colors," he says. I narrow my eyes at him. He pulls a half-finished lizard from the bag with the same pastel pinks, blues, and whites. "Already working on it," he says. I pick out a rainbow instead. He holds out his work to show me what he's doing. "You put on one of these," he says, stringing a red bead, "and then double thread it, like this." He hands me the awkward mess of beads and string. "You do the next two, and don't forget the eyes." My hands shake, but after a try or two, I get the next row. When I reach the toes, though, I get frustrated trying to make them look right. Nick tells me to stop pulling the string so taut. I can't. There's anger curling up in my hollow chest. But it isn't Seraph's anger. It isn't the white-hot, violent thing that made me tear out those throats and slam Nick into the bodies. It's helpless. I never asked for this. I never wanted to be an angel, and I never wanted to be their martyr. I'm a kid, and all I ever do is ruin things. The Elk would be better off if they'd never brought me in. I yank the string so hard, it snaps. The beads tumble to the floor. Nick sucks in a breath. I can't look at him. I focus on the rough carpet speckled with all kinds of colors, dizzy from the heat, exhaustion, and dehydration, desperate to think of anything but him and what I've done. After a moment, Nick takes the broken string out of my hand and gives me another. "Do you want me to start it again?" he asks. I shake my head and pick the beads up off the floor. It doesn't matter what I asked for. There's nothing we can do about what's already happened. I was raised by angels. The world ended. They got into my head and turned me into this. That may not be my fault, but it is my responsibility. I'll take the blame for what I've done and do everything I can to fix what I didn't. If I can fix this, I have to. If I can find a way to keep my friends safe, I will. That's what it means to be good. This time, when I get to the lizard's toes, I've gotten the hang of it. Nick finishes his trans lizard and ties off the end. "Here," he says, holding it out to me. "You can have it if you tell me where you were going."
"You drive a hard bargain."
My words are wet and raspy, but still recognizable as words. Just like I have a particularly bad sore throat or lost my voice screaming.
"Where were you going?"
I can't say it. I should, I know, but
out.
"Why?
Does it matter?"
Nick says. "It does." I need to tell them. I have to tell them. I can't do this alone.
"Can we get Aaron?"
I say.
"I really, really need to tell you guys something."
The only place I can talk is the roof of the Elk, where nobody but the birds will hear when I inevitably lose it. Ash streaks up the sides of the building. The night shift sniper has been sent down to get some rest. Our footprints track soot in the gravel. The moon is high in the sky. Erin has her hair up in a silk scarf, and I'm still wearing Nick's jacket. The city is beautiful. I stare at it instead of Erin and Nick standing close together, watching me. I've been up here with Nick before, but it's so different at night. The empty, still city. Perfectly quiet. Perfectly dead. It'll take decades for this world to start breaking down, centuries for it to fall, and eons for Earth to swallow every bit of it and wipe all trace of us from the world.
"Are you okay?"
Erin asks. I don't mean... She gestures helplessly at my face, because I know that isn't... It can't. I say,
"I fucked up."
Erin laughs a little.
"What?"
She looks to Nick, who says nothing, and back to me. "If it's about the flood, we can figure something out. If you want to tell everybody, we can do that. They'll accept it, I promise. Nothing bad is going to happen."
God, I need to tell everyone. "It's not that. I've been lying to you."
It all comes crashing out. My voice is high and desperate. The words tumble out like prayers, or maybe begging, or maybe they're the same thing. I do not leave out anything. Finding Theo at Reformation and how happy I was to see my fiancé again. The food and masks I stole for him,
how I went back to him, how terrified I was when he asked me to stay, when I realized it was him that brought fire down on the elk, and it's all my fault. My fault. I did this to them. I stop, eyes burning. Erin holds her stomach like she might be sick. Nick just stares. Nothing else. Just staring. I hate it. The silence hurts like a gaping wound filled with every little thing in the city. The quiet murmurs of the bank, the howling of feral dogs, a gunshot far, far in the distance. The smallest things that let us know we're not the only ones left alive. They should be doing something, anything. Walking away, yelling at me, dragging me to the side of the building to throw me off. They could do anything and I'd understand. Anything except just stand there. A terrible whining noise rises up in my throat, small and pathetic, like a kicked animal. I know I should say sorry, I whimper. But that's not gonna make this right. There's nothing I can do to make it okay. But I want to do something to fix it anyway. Which is why I wanted to talk to you. Because I trust you, and if anyone can figure out what I can do, it's you. Nothing. Oh God, there's nothing. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for another that ye may be healed. I don't feel healed. I don't feel anything. I just feel hollow. It's Erin who speaks first. Oh my God, she says. Benji. I whisper. I know. I mean, you're right, she says. Sorry isn't gonna change anything, but I still want to hear it, you know? It doesn't want to come up. I dig my feet into the gravel of the roof and force it out, the way I pulled flesh from my throat. I'm sorry. Thank you. She doesn't say it's okay because it's not. I want to look away, but I have to face what I've done. I don't know what else to say. This is a lot. I finish. Yeah. Nick pulls out his notepad, the same notepad he had in the meeting room, and a pen from his pocket. He starts to write. How sure are you that Theodore knew? He asks, not looking up. I was headed out to confront him about it. I'd bet a lot of things on it, but... like I wasn't heading out to tear him to pieces. Why? Because I'm sure. Nick crumples up a sheet and throws it on the ground. That son of a bitch. Did you know him? Well enough. Of course he did. There's no way soldiers the same age wouldn't know each other. I have an idea, but I need you to trust me. Do you? Yes. I don't have to think about it for a second. Just tell me what to do. If New Nazareth wants you so badly, he says, that they're willing to come all the way out here and risk an entire squad to force you back to them, then we're gonna give them everything they asked for. He jabs his pen against the paper. And we are going to make them regret it. Erin looks over his shoulder at the notepad. Her eyes flash. You brilliant bastard. In the middle of the night, bathed only in the moon and stars, we go through the plan. I am going to walk into the angel's arms. I am going to repent, twist them around my finger, and then turn the graces against them like the tide. I will rip salvation from their hands because that is what it means for them to suffer. The good the world needs right now is teeth and claws and a taste for blood. I am going to shatter them, and I will be the vengeance of God. I will. And the watch is going to get me out of it alive. They are the only people I could ever trust to do this. Atchison, Pennsylvania will be free. We won't need the Vanguard. There will be nothing to run from. The city will be ours, and we will survive the summer when we don't have to hide like mice under the floorboards. They'll hold Absolution down by the river, I say, pointing at the western edge of Nick's crude map of New Nazareth, right at the edge of their territory. It'll probably be the second day, because there's no way they're risking not locking me down as quickly as they can. I know how Mom works. I know what she'll do to me. But I have to suffer it for this to work. Is there anything you can do with that? Nick squints. I think so. That's close enough to the road. We'll position there and get you out as soon as possible. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to fix it. The Elk will be safe, and the Angels will never hurt us again. All I have to do is walk right into the mouth of hell.